Welcome back to 20s Toolbox here on WDIY. I'm your host, Grace Mansfield. Happy September, everyone. By the time this episode airs, I will have turned 20, so that's pretty crazy. Tonight's episode is one that I've been really excited to share with you, and not just because I'm talking to a fellow author, which is pretty exciting. My guest tonight is Caitlin Alafranca, co-author of the best-selling memoir, I Will Always Write Back. Her story about a simple school pen pal assignment that grew into a lifelong friendship is an incredible example of how small choices can lead to extraordinary connections. But before we get to our conversation tonight, let me tell you a little bit more about Caitlin. Caitlin Alafranca is co-author of the YA dual memoir, I Will Always Write Back, How One Letter Changed Two Lives, along with her pen pal Martin Ganda and journalist Liz Welch. I Will Always Write Back is a New York Times international and indie bestseller. It has won Junior Library Guild Awards, was part of Amazon's Big Spring Book Selection, and received a starred review from Publishers Weekly. Caitlin grew up in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. She currently resides outside of Philadelphia, PA, with her husband Dimitri and their daughters Mila and Dasha. Caitlin continues to work as a registered nurse in the emergency department, as well as traveling to schools all over the world to speak about her story and share her message of kindness. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for being here today. This is super exciting to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into the crux of our conversation tonight, would you be able to share a little bit more about yourself for our listeners? I know I covered most of it in the bio, but if you have anything else to add.
Absolutely. So my name is Caitlin Alafranca. I am the co-author of I Will Always Write Back, and I wrote this book with my pen pal, Martin Ganda, and our ghostwriter, Liz Welch. Martin and I grew up together through letters, so this is a true story about our lives growing up together. I'm also a parent of Mila and Dasha. Mila's in middle school, Dasha is in fifth grade. So lots of exciting things, and I get to go travel all the time to schools all over the world. And I love that because I get to talk to these young adults about kindness and what they can do, what small differences that they can do to make big changes in the world.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. Let's talk a little bit about your book. So I Will Always Write Back is a book that you and your pen pal turned lifelong friend Martin wrote together about your friendship and your story. I loved reading this book. I probably read it in 2 days. It's such an inspiring story. I recommend everybody read it. For listeners who haven't read the story, would you be able to talk a little bit about it?
Absolutely. So I grew up in the United States as a typical American teenager, just completely self-absorbed with boys and drama and gossip and all that stuff. And Martin grew up in Zimbabwe. He grew up in an area where there was a lot of poverty and his family didn't have much money. His mom didn't even own any shoes for her entire life. So when we started writing to each other, I was in seventh grade, and it was a project for school, which I didn't really care too much about school, about the educational purposes. I cared more about the drama and the social aspect. But I chose Zimbabwe as the place to write to my pen pal. And Martin was at the top of his class because he's very smart. So he was one to receive a letter, and he received my letter. We started writing, and we had an instant connection. We were just very intrigued with each other's lives because they were so different from each other, but we were so similar. We were just two kids growing up together 10,000 miles away through letters and learning about our worlds and our similarities and our differences. And it really, really opened my eyes to how big and beautiful this world is. And we just grew this relationship from there. And we kept writing for years. And now I consider him to be my brother. And he's just outstanding. So I'm really, really thrilled because he really ran with that message of kindness. And he spread it all over the world by helping so many others.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. Obviously, there's a lot of amazing themes to pull from this book, which made coming up with the topic for our conversation so tough because I want to talk to you about it all. But to kind of focus it a little bit, focusing on, you know, the theme of building meaningful connections, relationships, opportunities, because I feel like that's one of the most valuable lessons for young adults that comes out of this book. Looking back, what kind of personal qualities helped you build trust with Martin and keep your friendship with him so strong over all these years?
Yeah, Martin never judged me or teased me or made me feel bad about who I was. like I said, I grew up typical American teenager. I was very concerned about how others felt about me or how I had to change myself to make others happy. But Martin never made me feel that way. He was genuinely interested in what I had to say. He was always kind to me. He never made me feel bad. I felt like I could be my true self with him, even through letters. So that was what really changed me also and made me not concerned anymore about gossip or drama. And I realized then that none of that was important and that my best friend and his life and getting to know the world was the most important.
Yeah. How did you guys finally meet? Because you've been, I mean, you mentioned you were you've been talking since you were in seventh grade. So it's a long time. How did you originally meet in person?
So Martin earned a scholarship to Villanova University. So he was able to come to the United States to study. And so we picked him up from the airport. And it was crazy to get him to the United States because he had never owned a pair of shoes, let alone get on an airplane and take a flight across the world. So we met when I was graduated from high school and he came over and started going to Villanova. And then he stayed with us on holidays. We're family. So he would just come home for holidays like my, you know, other brother Rich did and everything. So that's how we eventually got to finally meet each other in person, which was also like, I was so nervous because I thought, like, what if he doesn't know me or what if something happens? But that first moment that we saw each other, that was everything. And that was the culmination of all of our years of writing, all of the trials and tribulations that we went through, and all of the struggles that his family had experienced. It was the culmination of all of that, and it was such a rewarding moment for the both of us, and it felt like we could finally breathe to know that he was here, because it was quite difficult just even getting him a scholarship, which he was able to earn himself, but he didn't have the resources to apply for the scholarship, so it was a pretty monumental moment.
Wow, it's amazing. Speaking of those challenges, obviously throughout the book, a lot of challenges came up for both you and Martin alike, and you talk about those a lot. How did you learn to keep communication even when life got really busy or difficult? Because that's really hard in a friendship when someone's struggling and you want to keep talking to them, but you might not really know how.
Right. So what we did was we were just best friends anyway. I didn't want to lose contact with him through any struggles. We didn't have access to text messaging and he didn't have emailing or anything. So until later on that he was able to get that. But it was hard. And there was a period of time where I stopped receiving letters from him. And it was terrifying, actually, because I had listened to the news. I knew what was going on in Zimbabwe. And it was really scary for me. But my best friend was there for me, no matter what. And he promised he would always write back. And I was never going to let him down. I was always going to do whatever I could. He was my best friend. And he was the first person that had ever made me feel confident in being me and just being honest and truthful about it. And I would never give up on him. And so that's why we just kept going. So I think with other people it's hard to stay through friendships like that. Just keep showing up. Mm-hmm. Keep showing up for your friend. Your friend's for a reason. And just be there for however they need you to support them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A quality I really admire about you is your curiosity and your curiosity for Martin's life and everything else in between. What role did that curiosity play in kind of deepening your understanding of Martin's life, deepening your relationship with him?
I was very curious because I was going to football games on Friday nights and arguing with Laura about who she liked, who I liked, things. When Martin had told me in some letters that he was playing football or American soccer with friends, but he was playing with a ball that was made out of trash. Things like that started to pique my interest because I've never had heard about anything like that before or experienced it. And at that time in my life, I didn't learn about Zimbabwe in school yet, so I really didn't know too much about it. But it was really interesting to me to learn more, and same on his part. he had only seen things about the United States on TV, in magazines. He really loved Hulk Hogan. So it was really interesting to him to see how I lived. So we always said that we got to grow up as teenagers. He grew up in Zimbabwe as an American teenager, and I got to grow up in the United States experiencing being a Zimbabwean teenager through letters.
Yeah.
But I was always very curious because no matter how it sounded to me, it was his life and he was grateful for everything that he had. So it really gave me that deeper understanding how to be grateful for everything that I have and that my parents worked so hard to provide me with.
Yeah. How important do you think curiosity is in, as young adults growing up, kind of building the next chapters of your life?
You should be curious. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important because this is how we learn our lessons in life. This is how we grow. Being curious, making mistakes, that's how we learn. That's how we grow. So I think it's so important because there is a world out there. There's an entire world full of really different things, really amazing things, amazing people. So being curious is going to open new doors for you. It'll lead you down paths that you maybe never thought you would take mm-hmm. before, or leading you to careers that you never even knew existed, things like that. So I think curiosity is so important for people in their 20s mm-hmm. because there's a lot of life that you're learning how to live. And being curious and brave will always guide you somewhere new.
Yeah. Speaking of young adults building the next chapter of their life, a really huge theme in this time is friendship. It's so important to kind of build a really supportive group of friends around you that really push you to be a better person every day. So I'm sure there are many instances, but would you be able to share a time when your friendship with Martin really pushed you to grow as a person?
Yes. Yeah, so when a really important time was I received a letter from Martin after I hadn't received a letter from him for a while and I kept writing. I received a letter from him finally, but it was written on trash. Mm-hmm. That for me was that moment. What he was going through in life was really devastating for me. And it pushed me to just completely push out anything else. And it was like that moment that I had received that letter, everything, that bubble I lived in, it just crumbled. And it just, none of anything mattered anymore. And it really pushed me to see the world and everything else that's going on in it. And knowing that none of what I was going through mattered compared to what he was going through. And it pushed me to just really go against my clique of friends that, you know, the popular kids that were not so nice. And it started to make me realize that none of that actually mattered. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot more world out there than
yes.
just the bubble.
Yes.
For young adults moving into a new stage, whether that's maybe, I know it's time for people to go back to school, so maybe they're going into college for the first time, getting a new job, maybe moving out of their parents' house, starting a new life of independence. What's your best advice for kind of building a genuine friendship like you have with Martin in whatever new environment you may be in?
I think the most important thing is to just show up as yourself. Even if that feels a little bit scary, when you're stepping into something new, everyone else is also hoping to connect. So just starting small, like asking someone about their day, inviting them to grab coffee or joining a club or a group you're actually interested in, that can open the door. Genuine friendships, they usually grow out of shared experiences and consistent little moments, not just one big gesture. And remember, it is okay if it takes time. You don't need a huge circle overnight. A couple of real steady connections can make all of the difference.
Absolutely. That's great advice. What are some signs? Obviously, you've put a lot of effort into your relationship with Martin, and Martin has given the same effort back to you. What are some signs maybe a young adult could look for, whether that's a friendship, a mentorship, maybe a professional partnership? What are some signs that that relationship is worth investing in long term?
For me, a big sign is how you feel after spending time with that person. Do you feel supported, encouraged, or just lighter? That, to me, is a good indicator that it's worth nurturing. So also look for reciprocity. When the effort goes both ways and you're not the only one giving, long-term relationships usually have respect at the center. And that's how Martin and I had. We were very respectful of each other. You can disagree, but you still have value for each other, and we would disagree about things, but that didn't make me value him any less. So that is really important. But also consistency, that is huge. Someone who shows up for you, even in small ways, is worth investing in. It's less about the grand moments and more about those steady, reliable connections that build trust over time.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could give young adults one, we call it like a connection habit, to practice for the rest of their life, what would that be?
If I could give one connection habit, it would be to genuinely check in with people, not just when something big happens, but in the in-between moments. Like, for example, sending a quick text or remembering something that they had mentioned or asking how they're doing. It shows that you care and it builds trust over time. Relationships, they thrive on those small, consistent touches, and it's such a simple habit that can make people feel seen and valued.
For young adults who may be doing long-distance friendships, relationships, would you be able to give some advice on how they can keep that relationship going? Maybe it's like doing like FaceTime date nights or, you know, trying to hang out once a month. Like, what would you recommend?
So I had those long-distance relationships with Martin and even my husband. We had that long-distance relationship. So those connections are really important. Just, I think that a lot of the FaceTime, voice time is so important. We lose a lot of that human connection within text messaging. But I also believe that writing handwritten letters is huge for keeping that connection alive, because you're also painting that picture for the other person with your words. And I think that's really important, just that consistency and keep showing up in unique, different ways that you guys can connect even from a distance.
Yeah. And because we're human, if you put in effort with someone, that effort will be reciprocated, right? Because you see that they're putting in the efforts, you're like, okay, I'm going to put in the same amount of effort. And that's how the relationship is strengthened.
Right.
What's the most important thing that your friendship with Martin has taught you? Obviously, it's probably taught you a lot of things.
So I would say that the most important thing is understanding, because I was not understanding of the world around me. And what he has taught me is that patience, understanding of others and what walk of life they have taken, that has helped me tremendously in life, because I'm also a nurse. So the understanding and that patience with people from all backgrounds has just made me a better nurse. And so Martin gave me that. He opened my eyes to the world and showed me what else is out there.
Yeah, that's incredible. The world is so much bigger than we think it is.
Right.
And I think going back to curiosity, we'll never really know what's out there unless we just take that 30 seconds of brave, like my mom likes to say. She's like, just take 30 seconds of brave. And once you step out there and do it or say hi to a stranger, like you never know what's on the other side of the door, really.
Right. We would have never expected that typical American girl in the United States and a boy in Zimbabwe who's barefooted all day would ever have likely things in common. But being brave takes you so far, talking to that person that you may not have spoken to ever. That's huge, because you can find out that you have so much more in common.
Absolutely.
Just by being brave and going out there.
Yeah. Along with curiosity, what kind of you obviously have a lot of empathy and compassion and love for Martin. What kind of role did those emotions play in your relationship?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was hard, because writing to each other through letters, it's not an instant thing. So your emotions linger on there. So it was very difficult being able to understand what's going on. I need to know if he's okay right away and things like that. But definitely it pushed me. My emotions and my love for him pushed me to just do whatever I could for my best friend, whatever I could to help him. And so my parents were amazing, because they had more resources than I did at that time. So they were able to step in and help with whatever we needed. And so it was very important to me. And that's how my care and empathy has always been for him. I'll do whatever for him, whatever that he needs.
That's amazing. How long did it take for you? Like, if you wrote a letter to him and vice versa, how long did it take on average for it to come back or you to get a response?
About 3 months.
Wow.
Right. So sometimes the letters wouldn't show up. So sometimes it could take 6 months before I would realize, okay, I didn't get something back from him. Let me write again. And it was just because a lot of times people would open the mail. Once I got out of the United States, it was a little bit more difficult to control anything. So people would open the mail and sometimes he would never get the letters. So sometimes it could take a really long time, but we just kept writing no matter what. And sometimes his letters wouldn't make it to me. So he would write again and, you know, we just tried it that way, but it could take a really long time sometimes.
Wow.
One time I had a young adult tell me, is it like waiting for Amazon, something that's not on Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't show up the next day. Not really. Obviously, I'm only getting to know Martin through you today, but would you be able to talk a little bit about what Martin's doing about your message of kindness and spreading that over the world?
Sure. Martin has really taken the message of kindness and ran with it. He went to Villanova University, and then he earned his MBA from Duke University. He lives in New York City, and he works as an African advisor, African strategist, and African investor. He also opened up his own foundation, helping impoverished scholars like himself have access to education and healthy food to nourish their brains. Because he always said, I remember being hungry and not eating something the healthiest, but it was affordable. And I felt like I couldn't study and I couldn't do anything for school. So now he's making sure that these kids have access to computers, all sorts of education, brand new books, and healthy food. And he is really just doing outstanding with that. Not only what he's doing with his foundation, he's not only helping just those young kids, but once they pass through his program, he is paying for them to go to med school as long as they contract to work within Africa, because that's such a great need for healthcare in Africa. And Martin originally wanted to be a doctor, but could not handle the sight of blood, so decided to become an investor. But he knows that there's such a need, so that's why he's taking, once those kids graduate from his programs, then he's sending them to med school to work within Africa.
Wow, that's so incredible. I think you guys are the true example of, you know, once you find a friendship like that, you truly push each other to become better every single day. And I hope everyone has a friendship like you and Martin have, because it's truly special.
Thank you. I agree. I think that this has been just the best thing in my life, for this best friendship, because it's led us both so far and we've really changed each other's lives. And what he has gone and done with that message of kindness has just been outstanding, and he's changed hundreds of thousands of people's lives.
So along with you and Martin, there's also a journalist, Liz Welch, who's worked on the book with you. What has she done in the journey?
Liz Welch was amazing. She was our ghostwriter who helped us tell our story. So Martin and I did not go to college to be writers. We had no idea what it was actually going to take to write a book. But Liz is a writer. She writes for all sorts of different publications, and she's published her own memoir, has helped us tell our story, and has written a bunch of books since. So what Liz would do was she would come to my house, and we would have discussions just like this, and we would talk. She would record all of our conversations. She would look at my journals from when I was growing up, and then she would go to Duke University where Martin was studying, and she would do the same thing with him and look through all like our photos and letters, and she helped us form our chapters because we had no idea what it was going to take to write a book. And I could tell you, I helped edit Martin's papers in college and neither one of us were college writers, but yeah, she was really instrumental in helping us tell our story. Like I said, I'm not a writer, so I'm a nurse, so I have more of an emotional connection with things. So I didn't always know the right word for a feeling, but Liz knew those words, and she really understood both of our voices because she grew up in the United States as a typical American teenager, but she also volunteered at orphanages in Zimbabwe, so she understood what the ground felt like in Zimbabwe on her bare feet. And she understood what the sound of keychains on your backpack in the hallway sounded like. So she really understood both of our voices.
Yeah, that's incredible. All came together and, you know, the best team effort, because the emotion, the words are perfect. Your emotion definitely shines through. So she definitely did a really good job.
Thanks.
Before we wrap up today, one final question for you. I ask all my guests, and it's like my favorite question because I get so many cool answers. But reflecting on your career, what's the best advice you've ever received? It could be about Martin, it could be about life in general, it could be about anything.
Oh, that's a great question. So the best advice I can say that I've ever received was to focus less on having everything figured out. This is so important, especially when you're in your 20s. Just focus less on having it all figured out and more on taking the next right step. Early on, I felt like I needed this like perfect 5-year plan. Right? But life doesn't actually work like that. Someone once told me, just keep showing up, stay curious, and keep learning. And that mindset has really carried me through big changes and challenges. And it's something I try to pass on to others, because you don't know, you don't need to know the whole map. You just need to be willing to take the next step.
Exactly. And sometimes that 5-year plan isn't the one that's meant for us.
That's right.
Right. And sometimes I feel like you almost have to go on that path and then do it and be like, actually, this isn't what I want, to find out the path that's really meant for you. And who knows, maybe you never would have met Martin.
Right. I think about all the time, the path that I did not think I was going to take has led me to so many beautiful things. And Martin always said to me, like, sis, just roll with it. That was one thing he would always say, just, you don't have control over it. Just roll with things, because you don't know where it's going to take you. Rolling with things led me to so many places. My husband is from Belarus. So he was born and raised in the Soviet Union. We come from a very different cultural background. But knowing Martin and being brave and curious led me to being able to form this wonderful relationship with my husband. And we had a long distance relationship for a while. And now I have, you know, we have our two beautiful daughters. And it was because I was curious and interested in taking those next steps, not knowing where it's going to lead you, but just to roll with it. And that's where I'm so thrilled that I rolled with it, because it led me to where I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you originally meet your husband?
We met on a cruise.
Oh, wow.
So he was working on a cruise and I was with my family, and we met there. And then we did some long distance dating for a while. We used calling cards then. We would talk to each other with calling cards, and we would try to meet up different places around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thanks.
Well, this has been such a cool conversation to talk with you and kind of learn about your life. So thank you so much for coming tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, that wraps up today's conversation with Caitlin. Her journey is really a testament to this amazing gift that we have, the power of human connection, that sometimes the smallest acts, like writing a single letter, can ripple outward and change lives in ways we can't always see or imagine right away. As you step into your own next chapter, I hope you'll pause to think about the relationships you're building right now, who in your life might become that lifelong friend, mentor, or supporter, and it might be someone you might not even expect. Additionally, think about whose life might you change by showing up, listening, and caring. Our future is built one connection at a time. Make yours count. So I'll leave you with the last line from Caitlin and Martin's book. Kindness is contagious. It changes lives. It changed mine. What will it do for you?